Last weekend, the remains of Staff Sergeant Philip Myers were returned to Dover Air Force Base in Delaware. That ceremony surrounding his flag-draped casket was the first open to reporters in 18 years. In February, the Pentagon decided to lift its ban on media coverage of the war dead if the family approves of that coverage. Pictures of the casualties have just started appearing on our televisions and in our newspapers. Vietnam, of course, was called the Living Room War, and it was called that very much because of coverage just of this sort. Well, for a look at what the overturning of the ban could mean, we're joined by Kathleen Hall Jamison. She's director of the Annenberg Public Policy Center at the University of Pennsylvania, and she's co-author of Presidents, Creating the Presidency. Professor Jamison, why now? Why do you think President Obama and the Pentagon have changed the policy on coverage of the war dead at Dover now? Is it just to fulfill a campaign promise?
There's been an ongoing controversy about this since the policy was put in place. And as a result, a new president is faced with the question, are you going to continue the policy or are you going to rescind it? Consistent with what he said in the campaign, he rescinded it. And I think in a very dexterous way, the issue as framed had been privacy of the families versus coverage of something that affects the nation, that is the cost of war. And in the compromise, the families make the decision about whether they would like that moment of their lives and of the lives of their lost family member covered by the media or not. And I think it's a good compromise because it essentially resolves the dilemma. You can't say that the privacy of the families has been intruded upon when they've given consent.
Now the president, the commander-in-chief, of course, gets to remind the country of the cost of war and human lives by doing this and makes a move towards a full disclosure of the cost of war. But he also runs a risk, doesn't he? Any commander-in-chief, when they're fighting a war, they own that war. And if the number of those flag-draped coffins start to pile up and pile up on the television screens, he runs a risk there, doesn't he?
It's a risk that a president ought to take because that is an actual cost. And it's important for the community to be reminded of the cost, set aside the political implications. Because it is, after all, a cost that the country is paying family by family. We tend to focus on the financial cost of war when this policy is in place, but to downplay the human cost of war. And reminding the country and reminding ourselves as individuals within the country of that cost becomes a way of ensuring that we're talking about the war, asking why we're there, whether we're accomplishing our objectives, and assessing whether or not these sacrifices are actually being made in service of goals worthy of the lives that are being spent.
Well, I just want to point out, as far as Iraq is concerned, Iraq, of course, hasn't been in the headlines very much lately. February 2009, the U.S. lost 17 soldiers in Iraq, 9 in March, 3 so far this month of April. We're losing about one soldier every other day in Iraq. Professor, you've said that it's the president who's brought Iraq back into the headlines, that the media wasn't covering it well. He lifted the ban on photographs of the flag-draped coffins and then his surprise visit to Iraq on the way back from the European swing at the end of the week. I noticed all of this comes just before yesterday. He's asked for another $83 billion to fight the war. Was the president very deftly reminding the public that there's a war going on so that he can ask for it to be funded?
It's always dangerous to try to figure out what's inside someone's head when they make a decision. I think that one of the consequences of the decision is that the country is more likely to have that piece of evidence in mind as it looks at that request for funding. But there's another context for this. The country, through the 50s and 1960s, used to, on Memorial Day and 4th of July, even in small communities, mid-sized communities, and large communities around the country, memorialize and honor those who died in war. And that became a moment for the country to consider the costs, consequences, and also to pay tribute to the people who had fallen in war. We have given up much of that important ceremonial moment. And as a result, those moments in which honor is given and those moments of reminder. In that context, if we're going to stay focused on costs of war, not having access to the visuals means that there really aren't moments in which the country is regularly reminded unless journalism is on the ground covering the war the way it did in Vietnam. That's not happening now for a number of reasons.
Well, journalism is not on the war with as many embeds covering the war in Iraq and Afghanistan. It seems like the media has lost a lot of interest in Iraq because the casualty counts aren't as high and things are starting to improve. Do you agree with that the media has dropped the ball? Does having coverage at Dover help refocus us in any way that has a lasting effect?
Depends on how much coverage there is on an ongoing basis. I suspect that at the community level, there is going to be some coverage carried forward from these individual moments in which the families consent. But the fact that these visuals are now available also means that they can be interpolated into the stories about Iraq and Afghanistan when those stories are offered. So instead of those stories simply being stories about the politics involved, there is now an increased likelihood that there will be that reminder because the visuals are available to remind, and that's potentially important.
Is there a risk of diminishing returns with these images, that people, at first, they're very salient and people become numb to them, and then you're, in terms of the public's reaction to the cost of war, that you're right back where you started in a few months?
There have been two very effective journalistic efforts to ensure that that wouldn't happen. The NewsHour with Jim Lehrer on PBS, and this week that with George Stephanopoulos on ABC, have been memorializing the individuals who've died.
They're on a roll. Yes, they're on a roll.
And that honor roll becomes, particularly in those outlets which have they have high attention among the news viewing public, become a reminder on a very regular basis of the cost. And so because that journalistic convention has emerged, we have not lost track of the cost. At least we have not, those who pay attention to those two media outlets. The question now becomes, will the media, as they cover the politics of the stories of Iraq and Afghanistan, and as they cover the various moves that are made both here and in those countries to accomplish objectives set by either, will they now find journalistic conventions to add these visuals to those narratives with the numbers that signal the total cost?
Professor, thank you. Kathleen Hall Jamieson from the Annenberg Public Policy Center, thanks for helping us understand that.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.